Here on this Sunday morning, I think it's definitely summer because last night we had a few drops of rain. So in Namibia, that means it's summertime, and I can see the way you dress. Definitely, it's not June anymore. It's not that cold anymore. So a warm welcome to everyone. I've got a guest here this morning that I want to introduce to you. So Pastor Teens, if you can come and stand next to me, I want to introduce you. This is Teens Jacobs. He's from South Africa. He's from Shofar Cape Town, our church there. He's one of the regional directors. That means he's a daddy to many churches in a sense. And Teens, you're such a nice guy, and it's such a privilege to have you here. Friday night, we had a good braai at our house, and Saturday morning, we had a nice breakfast, and Teens were talking to us a little bit about discipleship and sharing. And in between, we just had lots of fun. Lots of fun, yeah. That's a personal joke. But nevertheless, when I was for the first church service, you know, I thought back in 2007 when I was the student and Teens was the teacher at Bible School too. Me and Maritza were sitting there doing Bible School second year, and we enjoyed it so much to listen to him and to many other teachers. It's such a blessing. And Teens, we just want to open our church, our hearts to you. We trust that God will do the ministry here this morning, and I can just say it's great to have you here. Teens is also, he's from Upington in South Africa. Do you guys know the young bunch? You know where's Upington? In which province is that? Say again? It's in the Northern Cape, okay? So usually when pastors from Cape Town come to visit this time of the year, I tell them, guys, it's hot here in Windhoek. But Tien said, no, he knows about heat. He comes from a hot place, okay? I won't say he's a hot guy, he's just a nice guy. But Tien, before I dig a hole for myself, thank you. Can I just pray for you? Lord, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, and I specifically want to thank you, Lord God, for blessing our musicians, Lord God, for anointing people that can lead us into worship, Lord, that we can come into your presence, Lord God, and Father, that we can just look away from everything happening in our lives and just focus on you this morning, Lord. And Father, this morning, Lord, I just want to receive Teens here, Lord, and we just want to honor him as a pastor, Lord God, and for the work that he's doing, Lord God. Thank you for the calling on his life, Lord. And Father, we just want to open our hearts to him, Lord God, and we want to open our hearts to you, Lord God. And I pray that you'll anoint him here, Lord, this morning, and Lord, that you will say everything through him that you want to say to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be with you this morning. How are you doing? Yes, I can see that. It looks like you're doing well. So I've got a question for you. What's the most powerful thing on earth? Not person, thing. What's the thing that can change somebody the most? No. You're at the wrong church service. What won't I say? The word. If I had to take a guess, I would say grace. Grace. Think about that. If you talk, for example, about the power of God, think about Jesus. 10 lepers came to him, healed all 10 of them, only one came back. Did the power of God change him? No. What changed you? Why are you sitting here today? Because you were treated different by God from what you expected. There's a guy called C.S. Lewis. He was once asked, what is the one thing that makes Christianity different from everything else? And he said, grace. Grace. What is the song that is sung the most in the world still today? Amazing Grace. It was written more than 200 years ago. It's still been sung an estimated 10 million times a year. All right? More than 200 years ago, it's still been sung. Amazing Grace. Why? Because of the power of how grace changes us. We all want grace. We all want grace. We're all afraid we're not going to get grace. The guy that wrote it, John Newton, he was a bad guy. His mother died when he was very young. He was 7 years old when his mother died due to illness. His father worked on the ships. He built ships. They were sailors. They were rough people. They weren't nice people. So from a very young age, he was about 12, 13, 14, he started working on a ship. He became a sailor. And it got so bad that he freaked everyone out. Everyone was scared of him. Eventually, motivated him to join the Navy, which he then did, and then immediately led to mutiny. He came in resistance against a captain. He led a sort of mini revolt on a ship, and they lashed him. They gave him a lot of lashes. This man was broken, but he even got worse after that. So what the Navy did is they put him on a slaver ship. He became a slaver. He became a person that captured somebody and sold them as slaves. And he was so bad doing that that he even freaked out people working with him as slavers. He got so bad that they decided to sell him as a slave. So he worked in the West Indies as a slave for many years. And eventually his father got hold of him. I mean, those days it was difficult to get hold of people. Eventually his father got hold of him and sent some money to buy his freedom. And then he got on a ship again to go to England. And as he was on the ship started sinking. And then he got to the point that he couldn't anymore. And he cried out to God and he said, "Save me. If you save me today, I will serve you." And that was a guy that wrote Amazing Grace. You see, grace has got the ability to change anyone. Because what we expect is that God will punish us. What we expect is that people will hate us and reject us. What we're afraid of is that people will find us out and see us for what's really happening in our hearts. And then God comes and he treats us like we don't deserve to be treated. And that is grace. And then something changes in us. Because God treats me this way, I cannot be the same anymore. I cannot live like I lived before. Something must change. That is called grace. Now, I would say that grace is a very difficult thing to understand. It's very simple when we experience it. When we experience grace, we all know that somebody gives me grace. We all know it. But to understand it is, I think, more difficult. And I would say it's more difficult to understand it because no one treats another person in this world easily with grace. I mean, think about it. When you're in school, everyone's checking you out. Are you in? Are you out? Are you cool enough? Are you not cool enough? Are you strong enough? Are you not strong enough? One day when you work, people's going to measure all the time. Are you performing well enough? Are you not performing well enough? We don't expect grace in the world around us. Maybe you grew up in a home where grace was not something you experienced. It's hard for us to understand. But it's very important for us to understand grace. Because grace determines everything, almost everything, let me rather say that, about how you have a relationship with God. And that's why I want to talk to you about grace today. Now, if you put that picture up there, Jackson, keep that first slide up there. That is not a picture you're going to expect with a talk about grace, okay? You see a mountain there, there's snow there, there's people struggling up that mountain with a rope. What do you expect when we talk about grace? Maybe a very nice river, green grass to play around on, Bambi in the background. Something nice. What you don't expect with a talk about grace is a mountain full of ice trying to climb it. Why did I put that picture there? I put that picture there because it makes me think of a scripture. You can just keep it there, Jackson. I'm just going to read the scripture to you if I can find it. That talks about sorry, I'm just quickly looking for it. Give me grace, please. No, it's not on yet. Jackson, just go on and on and on and on and on. No, one back. There we go. That's the scripture I'm looking for. Check that out. It says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, but no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble." I'll tell you what. What this tells us is that if we don't understand grace, after a while, we're going to become angry at God. We're going to become bitter. We're going to say, "I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. I don't understand this grace thing. God is not with me. God is not for me." And maybe you already know somebody like that. I've known many people in my life like that. People that started following God, they're happy with God. And then after a while, they start getting bitter, angry. And then after a while they say, well, I'm not going to follow God anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. Perhaps you know somebody like that. Do you know somebody like that already in your life? Yes, I'm sure. Maybe not. That's a good thing. But if we don't understand grace, what's going to happen is we get bitter with God. Now, if you go back right to that first slide, I'm going to explain that again. I'm jumping around today, as you can see. Why did I put that picture up there? That picture comes from a book. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. And it is a story about what we experience as Christians in life. And in the story, there's a man called Christian, and he's walking through life. He's going through life, trying to follow God, trying to be a good Christian. And then after a while, two other guys join him. They start walking with him. The one guy's name is legalism. The other guy's name is lawlessness. Now, do you know what is legalism? Do you know what is lawlessness? I'm going to explain to you a slight bit later. So now Christian, he's walking, he's got lawlessness, he's got legalism with him, and they look the same. It's almost like having twins. They look the same, they speak the same, they've got the same clothes on, all right? Everything is the same. And then suddenly one day they get to a difficult place called the mountain of difficulty. And the mountain of difficulty is anything in life that you face that is very hard. Maybe something goes wrong in your family. Maybe you face a tough thing in school. Maybe you face a tough thing at work. Maybe something happens to somebody that you really love. A mountain of difficulty. It's any place where you can really struggle in life. And you know what? We go through those times in life. Everyone goes through, and maybe you've already gone through a time that is really difficult. And what happens here is that Christian is the only guy that climbs over the mountain. Mr. Legalism, he goes to one side. Mr. Lawlessness, he goes to the other side. But in the end of the day, none of them make it. Now, why am I telling this to you? I'm telling this to you because I'm saying that if you don't understand grace, you're either going to become a Mr. Lawlessness or you're going to become a Mr. Legalism and you're going to get angry at God. And then after a while, you're going to find yourself that you don't follow God anymore. So let's talk about that. What is grace and what is grace not? Can I explain to you grace, perhaps, if I may, for a moment? Now, I already said, grace means God doesn't treat you the way that you deserve. What does it mean then? In other words, I'm saying what grace doesn't do. Grace doesn't treat us like we deserve to be treated. In other words, we've done something wrong, we've done something bad, and God is not going to, when you come to Him, He's not going to hit you over the head for that. He's not going to punish you for that because of Jesus Christ. What does grace mean, though? It means that when God looks at you, He looks at what you need. And He's going to help you in what you need. That's what grace is. When God looks at you, it doesn't go like, yesterday you said an ugly word. You didn't pray twice. All right? You ate your food too quickly or too slowly. All right? You pulled a funny face at somebody. You didn't do your homework. You failed your test. I'm going to sort you out today. I'm going to punish you today. God doesn't look at it like that. When He looks at you, He goes like, that's what you really need. Perhaps you need somebody to encourage you. Perhaps you need love. Perhaps you need somebody to help you. And God says, what can I do to help you with what you need? That is called grace. Now, the reason why God does that is because He is good. And the thing about grace is that it really shows us the goodness of God. Now, I already said that grace means that God doesn't treat us according to what we deserve, but what it does mean, He treats us according to what we need. Now, there's two things you need to remember with grace. Two things. The goodness of God that drives grace means that in God's heart, when He looks at you, He only feels good about you. And the proof of that is Jesus Christ, the fact that He came and He died for us. You know, if we walk out here today, and perhaps I walk across the street, and I don't look left or right, and a car comes across, and the car's going to hit me, and you run, you're the hero of the day. You run, and you bump me out of the way, and you get driven over by the car. That's the end of you. I'm always going to think of you and say, that person really loved me. Why? Because of what you did. And the same is true of Jesus. We can never say he doesn't love us because look at what he did. He died for us. So we are sure that when God looks at us, he feels only good things in his heart towards us. That's one leg of grace. The other leg of grace is that when God does something, he does only good things. And God works all the time. All the time he does good things. The Bible says that God never sleeps. He's never lazy. He never goes like, oh, I want an off day. I'm going to watch a rugby. I'm going to watch a soccer. God always works. He always does good things. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means that when you wake up, God, with his goodness and his mercy, is already waiting for you to wake up. You know, when I went to school, I went to a boys' school. I was in the hostel as well. And we were initiated when we were young. And what we had to do, we had to wake up the seniors by smiling at them in the morning. We had to smile them awake. If he wakes up, you're smiling. You know? And we faked a bit because we didn't want to smile at them. We wanted to do something to them. Not so good. But God smiles you awake every morning. Goodness and mercy comes looking for you every morning. You run away from it, God finds you, gives you goodness and mercy. You hide away, God finds you, gives you goodness and mercy. You do something bad that you're really sorry about, and God finds you anyway, and it gives you goodness and mercy. You know, God is so committed to find you that he even sends a whale to swallow a guy like Jonah. And if he can send a whale to swallow Jonah, I'm sure he can find you as well. He can find you. God only feels good in his heart towards us, but God is also committed to do good things. God never commits evil. He never approves evil. He never says a sin is okay. Never. Never, never. Because God always does only good things. Now, why are those two things very important? And why does it help us with grace? Let me tell you. The problem is legalism and lawlessness. Now, most of us perhaps has already experienced that sort of thing in our life, or perhaps we will experience it, but that's why it's important that we talk about it now today. What is legalism? Legalism is where you do things for the sake of doing it. So you come to church because you must come to church. So now I'm sitting here. But in you, there's not really life. You don't feel, I want to be here because I want to worship God. Perhaps you pray, but you pray because you have to pray and you've got the same thing that you pray always about. Perhaps you worship, you're raising your hands, but everyone else is raising their hands, so you're raising your hands as well. You're doing things because you have to do them, not because you want to do them. That's legalism. And what happens with legalism is that we become hypocrites. You know what's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be something they're not. In biblical times, a hypocrite was a Greek word for actor. It means you're a soap star when you're a hypocrite. You pretend to have a life you don't have. You pretend to be somebody you're not. And after a while, you start getting tired of pretending, and then you get angry at God and you leave. All of us, after a while, it's hard to be an actor, I think. To smile when you want to throttle somebody. To look excited when you're not excited. It's hard to be an actor, I think. I don't know. That's what legalism does to us. It makes us hypocrites. On the other side, we find lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Lawlessness is when I do what I want to do. I don't care if it's bad or good. I don't care if it hurts other people. And I don't care if God is happy with it or not. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's lawlessness. It means literally without law, without any sense of what is really good, what is really godly to do here. I'm just going to do it. Now, I want to say to you, remember the picture right in the beginning. You find these three guys, they're walking with Christian, they look the same. I would say it's easy to look like a Christian and perhaps be lawless, perhaps be legalist. But after a while, when you get to difficult things in life, you're going to start to walk your own route. Because in that moment, you're not strong enough because you don't understand what is grace. Here's the thing about grace. Grace really comes for us when we're weak. You know, if we weren't weak, we didn't need grace. So grace really comes for us when we're weak and when we need God the most. But here's the problem. A person that is lawless or legalist never gets to the position where they're honest enough to say to God, I need you. So they walk away and they become bitter and they become angry. I want to tell you, the times I've experienced God the most in my life is when I'm with people or praying for people that is going through a tough time. We always think that God is with us when everything is good, everything is perfect, and no one has got anything going wrong. That is not true. God is really the most with us when things go bad. And that's called grace. But if I'm lawless or legalist, I'm not going to approach God because I'm going to hide away behind my legalism and my lawlessness. Now, I said that these are linked to grace. Let me explain to you why I say that. The person that struggles with legalism, you know what happens to them? In their heart, they're always afraid that God is not going to like me. So what do? I pray more. So what do? I go to church more. So what do? I go to small group more. Because if I don't do that, God is going to punish me. God is not going to like me. God is not going to want to be with me. But you know what? After a while, my relationship with God is all about the things that I'm afraid of. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If I love God, it's easy for me to obey him. If I love God, it's easy for me to come to church because I want to be here. If I love God, it's easy for me to pray because I want to pray because I want to be with God. Imagine I'm married. I've been married for 8 years. Imagine I go home this evening and I say, ugh, I have to go back to my wife. Carl, can I stay a bit longer? No. Okay. What are you going to think? You're going to think he doesn't love his wife. He doesn't want to be with his wife. I have to go home because I have to go home. That's not a nice place to be. Imagine I get to the airport this evening. And I say to myself, ugh, I have to buy flowers or else she's going to be angry. That's not a nice relationship. After a while, I'm going to hate being there. But if I say to Carl, bye, I'm going home. I want to go home. It means I love my wife. I want to be with her. If I buy flowers because I'm going to make her happy. You see, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going home. I'm buying flowers. I'm doing the same thing. For the person from the outside, it might look like I love my wife because I'm doing all the things. I'm going home, I'm buying flowers. But in my heart, I'm hating it. Now, if you're a legalist, you do things because you're afraid of God, not because you love him. But I'm telling you, in the end, you're going to become angry in God and walk away. You must do what you do because you love God. And you can love God because he loves us first. That's the point of grace. God loves us first, and because he loves us, we are changed. We become like a John Newton that does horrible things in our lives, and then we change, and we change forever. The problem for the guy that's a lawless guy, now we spoke about the legalist guy. Let's talk about the lawless guy. You know what's the problem with a lawless guy? The lawless guy can accept that God, in his heart, loves him. God loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. But then what happens is he says, ah, but God, he's like Father Christmas. If I do bad stuff, I'm still going to get my presents. He's still going to love me, so why do I care? I can do what I want to do, because God still loves me. You know what's the problem with that? The problem with that is this. God is always committed to do good things on this earth, which means that if I do a sin and I continue to do that sin all the time, I'm actually doing exactly the opposite from what God is doing. And you know what happens then? I make myself an enemy of God. You see, a lot of people don't understand that they struggle with things in their life and they ask, where is God? Why am I struggling it? But if I'm honest with myself, it's because they are all the time keeping a sin in their lives. And they're unwilling to let that sin go. And then they say, it's a devil, it's my neighbor, it's this, it's that, but meanwhile it's their own sin. Because they've made an enemy of God. You see, lawlessness is bad because then it means we've got no respect for God. Legalism is bad because it means we've got an unhealthy fear of God. And with both of that, we can't have a good understanding of grace. Now, what is a good understanding of grace? If I have to say, listen, I've experienced grace and it's really changed my life and I look very different because of it. Thanks. How do I know that I understand grace? I tell you what, how you know. You understand grace well if you have a good relationship with God and it keeps on growing. That means you understand grace. If you're in a position where you say to yourself, I've done a bad thing, I need a fresh start. Perhaps I've done something bad this week, so I come to God and I say, God, forgive me. And then you, oh, okay, that's over, that's behind me now, I can go on with life. But you stay at the same place and your relationship with God, if you're honest enough, is not better. It means that you don't understand grace. You see, the Bible tells us that grace can be in vain, which is to say that God gives us grace for a reason. And why does he give us grace? So we can have a better relationship with him. You see, God doesn't give us grace to feel better about ourselves. We do feel better about ourselves because we're forgiven. But God gives us grace so we can walk with him. And that in the Bible is called discipleship. You've heard the word discipleship? What does discipleship mean? Perhaps somebody wants to answer that question. What does discipleship mean? What is discipleship? Crick, crick. What is discipleship? If I say I'm a disciple of Jesus, what does it mean? I'm following him. Why am I following him? Because I love him. What needs to happen when I'm a disciple and I follow him? What needs to happen? What changes in my life? I become more like him. I start looking like him. I start speaking like him. I start doing the things that he did. I become like him. You know, when a lot of you are in school, I guess, or in varsity, why do you go to school? So you can learn things. It means you're a disciple. You're learning things. Hopefully you're learning things. Okay. A disciple means that you're learning new things all the time. And when you're a disciple of Jesus, you're learning all the time about new things in the kingdom of God and how does it work. But more than that, it means you become like him. You look like him. The Bible says, Romans 8, that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a very fancy way of saying our destiny. Because a lot of you are probably asking, what am I going to do one day? Where am I going to work? How am I going to make my money? And all those things are very important questions and good questions. But I tell you what, when everything is said and done, our most important job is to become like Jesus, to look like him. We've been predestined. That's our destiny. Our destiny has been given. Where am I going? I am going to look like Christ. And that's the most important thing in life. So I'm following Jesus. I'm a disciple because I want to become like him. And that's the reason why God gives grace to us, because it helps us to follow him. That is grace. See, most of us think that grace is about God just forgiving us and moving on with life. And it is that, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. It's so that we can have a relationship with Christ. Now, this is the importance of grace. I think all of us, we get challenged from time to time about this. And I think this morning we can have a good time just praying about that. Amen? So maybe let's stand. Let's bring ourselves before God. And let's pray through the whole thing of grace and what it means in our life. You know, and I believe there's three types of people here tonight, or this morning, sorry. I'm ahead. Three types of people here this morning. And maybe you're here and you need grace. Maybe you're here and you need grace. You say to yourself, listen, I don't know. I don't have peace in my life. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm going on my own. And I need grace again this morning. I need to come to God and connect with God again. And I need to be in a place where I can just follow Him again. And we're going to pray with you this morning. Amen? But maybe you're here as well this morning, the second type of person, and you struggle with legalism, which is to say you do have a relationship with God, you do love God, but you're always afraid. You're always afraid that whatever you do is not good enough for God. And therefore you just try and do more and more, but you never do it out of love. This morning we want to pray with you. Then the last group of people, maybe you hear this morning, you say, you know, if I'm honest, I'm just doing stuff that I want to do. When you talk about discipleship, which is all about following Jesus, that is not me. I'm all about doing my own thing here this morning. Then it's great to pray with you for that as well this morning. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you if we can close our eyes, and I'm just going to give a general prayer. And then I'm just going to open the space, and I'm going to say, if you fall into those three categories, you need grace, or you find yourself afraid of God, or you find yourself doing whatever you want, and you want to pray with us this morning, then you can come to the front. Amen? So let's just pray together first, and then we're going to do that. Father, we thank you this morning for your Son. We thank you that your Son has come and shown us what is grace, what is love. And we thank you that because of your grace, we are not the same anymore today. Because your grace speaks of your love, which is the most powerful thing in this world. Grace is just a part of love. The Bible says God is love. Not that God has love, God is love. When we have to summarize what is God, it is love. And we thank you that your love is with us today. But Lord, we know that the world is broken. And many times we are broken. And many times we have bad expectations of you or bad experiences of this life. And because of that, we're not close to you. But this morning, we want to be closer to you. We want to follow you. We want to see your face, even as Moses saw your face, face to face, close, intimate, hearing your voice, speaking to you. And therefore, we want to put everything that comes between us and you, we want to get out of the way this morning. Let your name be glorified in our lives. If you're here this morning, you need grace. Or if you're here this morning and you are legalistic, or you're here this morning, you're lawless, come to the front. And we're going to spend a bit of time just praying for you. Amen? Let's pray together. Thank you.
much Tiens for blessing us and being an instrument in God's hands. Friends, I trust that you enjoyed it and you had a good Sunday. My heart is that you'll have a wonderful Sunday for the rest of the day. We'll see you next time, next week, same time, same place. And have a great day. Thank you.